Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to episode 21 of Dudes on Hockey. Dude, we are of age.
I'm sorry, dude. I was distracted. I'm reading about Lindsay Lohan confessing her love for her
women?
Girlfriend.
Here. Oh, nice. Maybe I should be reading that instead of this.
Who's of age, Mike?
Dudes on Hockey. We're 21, dude.
We are?
We're legal.
We are legal.
We're legal. So,
would you like to share a Zima?
It's going out of business. Stock up while you can.
Yeah?
Yeah, I heard Zima's going out of business.
Bummer. Is there still tequiza? Because I could go for an ice-cold tequiza right now.
Who couldn't? I mean, that's morning, noon, and night. Tequiza's good.
Delicious.
Hits the spot.
Or delicioso.
You can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere, Sharks fans.
I'm stoked we had our highest numbers this week. We've got 85 downloads.
Yeah, I got to say that our numbers have improved since the very beginning. This is our 21st week. We've done 21 straight weeks of the podcast. And I just got to say right out, thanks for listening. The numbers are getting better. I know we have a personal goal of 100, and I hope our listeners can help us get to that goal. You know, tell a friend if you've got another Sharks fan that needs to get some half-assed analysis.
Peppered with tequiza.
References, yes.
Yeah, we're here. We're your dudes.
We're your men. That's right. That's us.
We are.
So, in other news, on the road trip front, we talked about going to New Jersey. Tickets are booked. We're going.
We are.
And I did a little extra research this week. I asked some Devils fans, if we wore our jerseys and went to the Rock, will we get our ass beat? Because, frankly, we talked about how you witnessed a lovely fight at a Raiders-Niners game, and we're all about the safety. So we wanted to make sure that we could go to the Prudential Center safely, not worry about our health. And luckily for us, Devils fans seem to be pretty nice about it. They said, you know, it's as long as we don't make asses out of ourselves, we'll be fine. So I think I will be fine.
Speak for yourself, Mike.
Yes.
I can't make any promises.
I can't. I'm not going to speak for you.
I don't have no interest in going into that. I hate it when you go to a game and the opposing team's fan is just a total
turd.
Total turd. And no interest in being that. I want to be a gracious visitor.
Yes.
I want to win.
Yes.
But I want to be a gracious visitor.
We'll cheer for the Sharks. We'll cheer for the Sharks' goals. And then we're going to keep our mouths shut most of the rest of the time. And if people want to give us a bunch of crap, then I would expect it. Because that's part of what home ice advantage is all about. You got to give the other guys crap. That's, you know, that's what you do.
Yep.
So, I mean, I will take it graciously. Or I'll try, at least. And I'll try not to get mugged on the way to and from the Rock.
Good
so
man.
That's the plan. That's all I got. So let's start talking about the game. So the most recent game is maybe the most noteworthy because the Sharks actually lost. You know, from a podcasting perspective, it's almost good that they lost because otherwise we'd have nothing to talk about. Blah, blah, blah. Sharks won again.
I'm really concerned about the season now.
Ryan Gardner, where'd you come from?
This hat is delicious. They lost. I mean, they didn't play bad.
No.
They jumped out.
They had about 1,000 chances in the second and third.
It just was one of those nights that midway through the second period, I just said, we're not going to win this game. Like, it's just not, it's not going our way tonight. And in between bites to your burrito, I think you said, and I said, yeah, dude, you're right. It's not going to work out. And it didn't work out, but they played their game and it's okay. We're not going to be 80-2.
Okay, we'll just be 79-3.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too. Well, we watched the game on center ice because I have center ice, and we had to catch the Phoenix feed. So we were treated to Dave Strader and Darren Pang, who actually, when I saw that it was them, I had forgotten that they were the broadcast team in Phoenix. I said, okay, this isn't going to be so bad because these guys do national broadcast. Pang was an analyst for ESPN when they did hockey. Dave Strader, I think, has done NBC or Versus or one of those national hockey broadcasts, and there were some funny things that they said. I mean, laugh out loud funny bad and laugh out loud funny ignorant.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Mark Edward Vlasic is leading the Sharks in ice time. Who'd have thought that?
It's like anybody who watched the Sharks for the past 2 years would think that. Yeah. Do your homework, Strades.
Oh, man.
That's the other thing. Pang has to call him Strades.
Hey, Strades.
Yeah. Call him Dave.
Hey, Strades. Did I tell you about that 9-iron I pulled out the other night? I mean, everything's a golf analogy, too.
I know. Well, there's about 1,000 golf
Joe courses. Thornton hit the puck with a wedge.
It's just everything. Sat up real nice on the green, spun it back. What are you talking about? It's not even hockey. Well, the best segment had to be the segment where they had the contest with the 8-year-old kid.
Oh, God.
So they had a contest where 8-year-old kid, I want to be a broadcaster. I want to be a Phoenix Coyotes broadcaster. So they bring in this 8-year-old kid into the booth, and I can't believe we're just going to blast an 8-year-old right now because that's what we're all about. I'm all about just, you know, pushing down the youngsters. And so they bring this kid into the booth, and he must have written a heck of an essay, but he certainly wasn't real dazzling on the microphone.
No, it's like Helen Keller up there.
Yeah, it's like Darren Pang, you know, in his high voice. He's like, hey, so you look at the goalies there. It looks like he's playing real good, Brizgalov. Hey, right, Cameron?
Yeah.
And then there'd be this pause, right? They'd wait for him to say something else, and then they'd realize he wouldn't say anything else. Oh, anyway, so Phoenix is playing really well. You like all those young kids they got? You like Peter Mueller? Hey there, Cameron, you like Peter Mueller?
Yeah.
15 minutes of that. It had to be 15 minutes.
The game's going on. You're seeing the game, but you're hearing that.
You're
No. It was awesome. It was so bad.
And you could tell there was 5 minutes in the middle where they were kind of scared of talking to the kid because they knew it would just be dead air for 15 seconds. And then they had to sort of bring him back in. Maybe they were waiting for the kid to like store up some knowledge or store up something to say. And then they kind of go back to him and they wouldn't say anything. So
they scored the third goal and they're like, oh, camera's getting all excited up here. It was dead silent. I mean, like, and Phoenix scores a goal. Camera's getting real excited up here.
It's like you hear the crickets. Oh, well. At least we spent a lot of time blasting the 8-year-old.
Well, we had to have something to talk about from that game.
I probably would have been like crapping my pants if I was, you know, at least I would have held on to my lunch. Yeah, at least I probably wouldn't have had when I was 8. Wow. But anyway, so that was the Phoenix game. So the Dallas game was the night before. You know, that was a great game because we got to see not only the Sharks win, but we also got to see the Stars lose in a spectacular fashion, right? We got to see Turco cough at the puck, 30 seconds left. Marleau throws it into his skates, and then Turco himself whacks it into the goal with his own goalie stick. So, I mean, if I had to script the damn thing, I probably wouldn't have scripted it any better than that.
It was highly dramatic.
Yes, I would say.
It was a lot of fun. Your boy, Dan Boyle, got the goal. Any win over Dallas is a good win in my book.
Yeah, and I think that they're a lot better than their record indicates.
Absolutely.
I think in the next few weeks here, they will probably sort of regain their senses and bounce back. I looked at their schedule a little bit, and they have some pretty easy games coming up, some Phoenix. And
Zuboff is back.
Yeah.
Something that I noticed in both those games is that two teams that kind of last year took a run at the Sharks physically, like to try and beat them up and get them out of their game. Mm-hmm. Didn't really seem interested in trying to engage San Jose in a bunch of rough and tumble antics. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the Sharks have shown that they're going to play their game regardless of what the other team does. And that's sort of something that you hear people talk about. And certainly that's something that Tom McClone has talked about time and again this season, is that we have a plan. And we're not going to deviate from that plan. And I think there was some history of other teams being successful in getting the Sharks off their plan. You know, the Ducks would fire them up and, you know, try to blow everybody up in the corners. And the Sharks would retaliate or feel like they had to stand up for themselves. And now, since that confidence is there due to the good start, I think the Sharks can sort of take all this crap. You know, Sean Avery was squirting Gatorade at somebody or other. And they just say, who cares? We're going to beat you anyway. It doesn't even matter. And, you know, maybe we'll see the Sharks, you know, give in to some of that later in the season or whatever. But for now, they seem to be very stalwart in their efforts. Like,
the Sharks out-hit the Stars 43-21.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. So
that's a monster.
As far as which team was more physical, it was not even close. Doubly as physical. So San Jose really took it to them. Good win.
And the St. Louis game was a good win, too, because that was a game that, you know, it's sort of back and forth, a little reminiscent of the Philly game. And you just sort of knew. It was sort of one of those things where you sort of knew near the end of the game that the Sharks were going to win.
They had no business really being in the game either, just by how it was going. And another one, sort of like last night, just wasn't quite their night. Like, things weren't going their way. They do something good, and a couple minutes later, they give up an opportunity to St. Louis, and they'd score. And the ending, I mean, talk about taking the wind literally right out of your sails, where you've got this huge, dramatic game-winning goal by Klo, followed by just a punch in the nuts.
Yeah.
Seeing Nabokov crumpled down on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
A frightening moment for us.
Absolutely. But I think they're holding their cards very close to their vest, as all teams are doing with injuries. But apparently the word is it's not as serious as the Sharks initially thought it might be. Nabby apparently was seen walking without a limp. I don't know if we're going to see him against Nashville. I don't know why we would put him in the net. Give Boucher another start, at least as far as I'm concerned. Maybe put Nabby in against Calgary or put him in against Chicago, and we'll talk about those games up in a second. But, yeah, that was a little bittersweet, but Boucher is playing well. You got to have a decent backup, as New Jersey is finding out.
Yeah.
In order to try and stay in it.
Yeah, as I found out.
Yeah.
As a fantasy.
Well, you got Kevin Weeks, right?
Trolling the fantasy free agent wire. I'm actually eyeing the young Edmonton goalie right now, Jeff
Drouin Delorier.
Yeah, he started again tonight and won.
Right. Yeah, and I got Garone, and he's playing like crap.
I've got him right now. I'm just trying to figure out who to drop.
So you're doing fantasy stuff while we're doing the podcast? Thanks, dude. Way to keep your head in it.
It's associated with the podcast. I'm asking the listeners what I should do here.
Okay. Okay. Well, you can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com to give all your fantasy advice to Doug.
I need it. I'm in last place.
Yeah, I'd say you do need it.
Oh, God.
All right. So let's talk about something that you found on TSN. I guess TSN, which is a source for many of us for all things hockey, or at least one of the sources that we check regularly. I guess they did a prospects list. So you found something. You were the one that found it. So what's that all about?
Let me get off this Lindsay Lohan page.
Yeah. And the fantasy hockey page. Great.
this list on TSN where they're talking about the top 12 Sharks prospects. Do you know who they have ranked as number one?
Jamie McGinn?
No.
Really?
Logan Couture.
Interesting.
Still the number one prospect in this guy's eyes for the San Jose Sharks. And number two is our future man crush, Nick Patrecki.
Yes.
Who I'm most excited about seeing here eventually. And I love how they talk about how, this is my favorite quote. He is not expected to produce or start much offensive action from the blue line, but what he can do is intimidate and scare the opposition with devastating body checks. One thing is for certain, forwards will not like to play against him ever.
That's a great, yeah, that's a...
That sounds like a glowing. Great... young man in waiting here for us. But the most glaring thing here is that of the 12 top prospects, according to Shane Malloy, Prospect Insider, is six of them are goalies.
Wow. Jeez. Well, I guess the Sharks are playing to their strengths, right? They draft goalies well. They have, Kiprusoff still in the league, Nabby, Toskal is starting. We got, from the Sharks draft board, there are three starting goaltenders right now in the NHL.
And the best goalie in the AHL is right. Nolan Schaefer, former Sharks
former
prospect.
Shark,
I mean, can that guy just get someone give him a job, please?
Seriously,
In his brief cup of coffee with us,
he was 5-1 in seven games.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was one of those ones that just a total casualty of the system where we lost him on. I think they were going to have to send him down and lose him for nothing, so he ended up getting traded to Pittsburgh.
I thought it was something else. I thought he dived in the depth chart after Grice, and they'd trade him for a seventh round because they had two guys ahead of him. You know, even the Sharks can't hold 50 goalies. So.
Sure, but he was a serviceable, cheap. He would have been having Boucher.
Right. I guess the word on him was that he wasn't an NHL caliber goalie, and there's no reason to keep him. But it seems like the Sharks have enough of those, right? So they got Thomas Grice, who is probably their top rated goalie. They got Timo Pielmeyer. They got Harry Sateri. They got Taylor Dakers. They got
Alex
Stalock.
Yes. And
Let's see if I can get the last one. I don't have the last one.
Tyson Sexsmith.
Oh, I almost got
all
six.
Very impressive.
Thanks, dude.
I'm impressed.
So anyway, that means the Sharks are... Why wouldn't you draft what you're good at? Some teams draft because, we don't have a lot of defensemen, so let's draft a defenseman. And if they don't know who's good, they'll just draft the next defenseman that they'll just guess, throw the dart. But Sharks seem to be so good at drafting goalies. It's an interesting strategy. Just draft all the goalies if you know that they're a good value, right? They got Harry Sateri way lower than he was rated at. Clearly, they scouted this guy, and they said, this is a good goalie. Let's get him.
Take the best player on the board.
Take the best player on the board.
Take the best player on the board. Compile a bunch of assets. We saw how it worked out. The Sharks got a bunch of great young assets, and they turned it into Dan Boyle.
That's right.
So,
And they
turned it into Brian Campbell.
That's right.
So why can't we do it again? I think that Doug Wilson's got the cupboard is full.
At least as far as goalies go.
Absolutely. And that's a high commodity. There's several teams that are looking fairly bleak in their goalie situation
right. For
now and for the future.
There's always going to be a few teams that are going to be short on that kind of thing. And if the Sharks have five goalies in the system that are projected to maybe make the NHL, why wouldn't a team like Washington or Philadelphia or one of these teams or Ottawa decide to take a run on one of these guys, and then the Sharks can get a good draft pick in return or a good prospect that fills a need that maybe we don't have a lot of great prospects at, like defense or something else. I mean, it's a good thing.
One defenseman on this list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a little discerning. But
so Jocelyn didn't make the list.
No.
And as we all know, Dan Spang... So that's the list. So Mike Moore isn't on the list then?
No.
Okay.
Mike Morris is.
Morris. Okay.
Mike Morris, the forward, is number five, right. But he's behind Lucas Kaspar, which is, you know, not saying much.
Right. He's going to be off the list in about 10 days.
They said his days on the list are numbered.
All right. Well, let's look forward to the next week. We have Nashville on Tuesday, Calgary, and Chicago. Nashville, not a very good team.
They had a little run in here. I got a question for you, Mike.
Okay.
This week, we've got polar opposites here. Do you know who the best home team is? There's two other teams in the league that have not lost a game at home yet.
Okay. So the Sharks obviously haven't lost at home.
In regulation.
In regulation. Buffalo.
No.
Crap. Montreal?
No.
Dang.
One loss for Montreal. Washington.
Washington.
And Chicago.
Wow. Okay. So we're facing Chicago.
Who's the worst road team in the NHL?
Atlanta. They're the worst team.
No.
Then we'll have to go with another bad team. We'll have to go with Dallas.
Nashville.
Oh, really? Okay. So
we've got the best and the worst coming up this week, and then a team right square in the middle. Actually, Calgary is not a very good road team either.
And Calgary got crushed this past weekend by Chicago, I believe, 6-1. So I think Nashville and Calgary are definitely winnable games. I mean, those are going to be games that if you're setting a betting line, the Sharks are going to be big favorites. But Chicago could be interesting. That's a good, young, up-and-coming team. We've talked about them a lot this year. I look forward to that game a lot.
That's a great test.
They're finally selling that building out. They finally got a lot of good fans in Chicago. It's great to see that.
I could see that being a brutal, brutal matchup for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that wouldn't be a team that I wouldn't want to see in the playoffs.
Not in the first round.
That would be the worst draw ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Please, Minnesota, please.
Crossing our fingers.
Do you know who the Sharks would draw right now if the season was over? We'd be the number one seed, and the eighth seed would be?
Eighth seed would be Phoenix.
It makes us look good.
Really? Eighth seed would be, Minnesota?
Columbus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Columbus would be the eight.
Huh.
Tell me you wouldn't like that.
Oh, God, I love it. Love it.
Licking my chops.
Absolutely. Well, too bad the season doesn't end today, but we still only have about, 16 or 18 more months before the end of the season.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the shootout where we talk about other random stories around the NHL. First up, big headline this week, Tom Kostopoulos hits Mike Van Rijn square in the back.
Big deal.
Boarded him.
So what?
Broke his nose, broke his finger, gave him a concussion. He's going to be out a month.
Walk it off.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it. So Kostopoulos gets 3 games.
You're pretty upset about this.
I am a little bit. I think one of the reasons why he got 3 games is because he put forth actually a pretty damn good apology. It was a good apology. He was really sorry. And I'm sure he was. I'm not doubting the veracity of his apology. But the point is, at least my point is that I don't think that kind of hit should be in the repertoire of a hockey player. And if you do slip up and you hit somebody that way, then you should get 10 games or 15 games or something, because It's just at this point, with the speed and the size of these guys, it's just a matter of time before a guy cracks his skull and you got gray matter on the ice or something. You know, I mean, it's gonna be ridiculous. Or a guy breaks his neck. And then what happens? And then ESPN spends the next 3.5 months talking about how hockey is the most brutal game ever and no one should ever watch it because they can't take care of their players.
What's more violent sport, football or hockey?
Yeah, football.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
But I think the NHL needs some preventative medicine here. I mean, you gotta start sowing the seeds of this kind of stuff can't happen because, you know, it's a complicated and tough market to sell a sport in right now. And the last thing the NHL needs is a Travis Roy situation.
Do you think that the guys should play with like inflatable tires around them,
like water wings,
and have little flags on a mic so that when they skate by, if your flag is pulled, then you have to give up the puck?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm surprised I'm taking the stance because usually I say leave the hitting in the game and I don't want to take the hitting out of the game, but
should tea and scones be served on the bench and players on the third line be forced to wear a mini skirt?
All right, well, let's go to the next story. So what do you think about the Darcy Tucker hit? So Darcy Tucker said to Nick
Schultz...
Now,
that's garbage.
He said, I'm going to take your knees out. And then later on in the game, he did.
That's terrible. And that's terrible. And I'm not condoning what happened with Kostopoulos.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that I don't... I think he regrets it, clearly. Is it any different than what Torrey Mitchell did?
No, it's not.
So Torrey Mitchell's not a dirty player.
Maybe Torrey Mitchell should have got 10 games.
Well, maybe he should have, but you're not going. I don't think you're going to see this from Kostopoulos again. I think message has been received. Luckily, Van Ryan's not seriously hurt. But the Darcy Tucker thing, I'm going to stab you, and then he stabs you.
Right.
That's someone who should get 10 games.
At least. I mean, I've said good things about Darcy Tucker, and I've advocated that the Sharks should get Darcy Tucker in a trade. I did so last year. I'm off the bandwagon with Darcy Tucker. I mean, that is a dirty play. You're messing with a man's livelihood now. You're messing with literally millions of dollars. I mean, Nick Schultz is a good defenseman. If his career ends because Darcy Tucker threatens to take out his knees and then does so, you know, there's no point for that in the game. I mean, it's one thing to threaten a guy, which I guess, you know, you want to put the fear of God into somebody. Okay, go ahead. But then to actually do it, I just don't see the point. So I'm off the Tucker bandwagon. I mean, you think about Ulf Samuelsson, and that's he was a fine player, but it's a name that will live in infamy because he ended Cam Neely's career. And, you know, Darcy Tucker could have easily gotten that same stigma, not once but twice, because he did the same thing to Michael Pekka a couple years ago. So I'm off the Tucker bandwagon. It's a bummer. But
you guys are officially broken up.
Yes. We are now estranged.
Do you have to give him back his letter jacket?
No, I'm keeping that. Okay, final story. A certain person who impersonated Matt Carl.
What are you talking about?
I don't know who that was. Some random person impersonated Matt Carl on the radio show last Sunday. I have no idea who that was, but it was a hell of an impersonation. But he was talking about the wonderful Matt Carl trade. So after 12 games, the Lightning decided to give up on Matt Carl, traded him to Philadelphia for two sort of role players and a pick.
Mike, this is Matt Carl. I'm standing here with my U-Haul, just packing things up, and Steve Bernier's here. He's helping me pack. We're just trying to figure out what went wrong. What happened to us?
Nothing. You got traded to a better team. Be happy that you're leaving Tampa.
Do you think that Flyers fans will be nurturing and patient with me during my growth?
They always are. They always are.
Should we form the Jeff Gilson fan club for mediocre Sharks prospects? Boy, I guess it's a salary dump. That's the only thing that makes any sense. But Tampa Bay, I mean, talk about getting a bag of poo in return. Yeah. I mean, you get
Steve Eminger,
who's also on his third NHL team in less than 8 months. A borderline sixth defenseman. And
Steve Downey,
who, you know, he's... a total goon, he hasn't found the line yet
of how to keep his head in the game and play, you know, within.
So that's exactly who they should be adding to the mix down there.
Right. Two guys who can't either A, can't play, or B, can't control themselves. That's exactly what they want.
What a mess.
Yeah, it's Tampa Bay is continuing to...
They should really blow that team up and start over.
They just did like 6 weeks ago.
Oops.
Brutal.
All
brutal.
I can say is thank you, because we're reaping the benefits.
I know, and it has to be said that now they traded Dan Boyle and Brad Lukowich for Steve Eminger,
and Steve Downey,
Ty Wishart in a first-round draft
pick. And Ty... lay off Ty Wishart, all right?
I'm not saying Ty Wishart's bad, but...
He has 1 point in 12 games in the AHL.
Yes.
He's really putting in a solid season.
he's Dan Boyle 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I'm sure they'll enjoy that. The last first round pick in the draft, too. That's going to be a real good pick.
Oh, well.
Sharks will still draft a goalie in the sixth round.
That's right. Anyway, that does it for this week of Dudes on Hockey. Thanks so much for listening. You can catch us on the web at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And I hope you'll listen to us again next week, same time, same place.
Hey, Mike, how would you like it if your last name was Horkoff?
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League. Oh,